Talking today with Lori Peterson from Oklahoma Farm Bureau, a director, of course, of Vice President of Public Policy. And Lori, we're now past officially the 2010 legislative session of the Oklahoma Legislature. You know, as you think back, and obviously the last couple 3 days were extremely hectic. A lot of things just thrown together at the last moment, as sometimes happens, but this year seemed like maybe more than normal. What are your overall impressions? Did rural Oklahoma come out okay?
Overall, I really believe that rural Oklahoma did do okay. I think our legislators did a good job of representing the interests of rural Oklahoma. But as you said, so much happened in those last 2 or 3 days. And so there'll be some weeks of sorting through exactly what was passed and how that will affect rural Oklahoma and Oklahoma in general.
Now, as we go back and look at earlier in the session, I know that the thing that Farm Bureau invested so many hours, so many man hours on, so much capital on, was this animal husbandry bill. Tell me a little bit about your feelings as you've had a chance to reflect on it, know that it's now part of the law of the state of Oklahoma. How important was this measure?
It was by far the most important single piece of legislation that was passed for agriculture producers. The governor signed it on April 19th, which, as you know, a month ago with session still going on, seems like so long ago. So many things have happened at the legislature since that time. But the passage of House Bill 3202 really protected agriculture producers and said acts of animal husbandry are not prohibited by the Veterinary Practice Act. Did that change anything? It didn't change anything. It protected the right for producers to continue the practices that they've always been doing on their farm and be able to feel like they were within the law in doing so.
And, of course, it was also known very much as the teeth floaters bill, and that's beneficial to your members as well, right?
It is. And those floaters who would like to become certified under the Board of Veterinary Medicine and practice their skill for those horse owners who believe that they provide a very valuable service and that they're available when sometime a veterinarian isn't because they have perhaps something that's more a high priority or something that's much more invasive for livestock that they're busy doing.
Lori, let's talk about maybe what else happened at the legislature. Before we go to the budget, what are the pieces of legislation were you feeling especially good about as we wrapped up the session?
In the last week of session, we supported two different pieces of wind energy legislation, one of those being House Bill 2973, and that was the landowner rights for wind development. We want to see wind development in Oklahoma, and we want to balance that with the rights of the landowner, and we think that this piece of legislation is a step in the right direction and sets up some standards for decommissioning should the wind turbine outlive its useful life. Also, Senate Bill 1787 was passed there in the last week of session, and that prohibits wind rights from being severed from the surface of the land. And that may sound like an unusual piece of legislation for Farm Bureau to support because we're the private property rights organization. We're for private property rights, meaning a landowner ought to be able to do whatever he or she wants with their land. But really, to protect your private property rights, you need to hold on to those wind rights because what good is that surface if you would have to go to a different, perhaps even out-of-state owner to ask for permission to do anything within that airspace?
No, we had some comments coming from wind energy interests that at the last moment the legislature did kind of reverse course and pull back on some of the maybe the taxation issues as relates to wind energy. The encouragement is still there as far as tax incentives.
That's right. You know, along with several other tax credits, the wind energy tax credits were really on the chopping block and said we're going to do a 2-year moratorium on those. Well, that, you know, the legislature was in a terrible bind. We were at a budget shortfall. But for wind development and for companies who already had those projects in the works, they had made business decisions based on those tax credits. So the legislature, as you said, at the last minute, passed another piece of legislation that instead of just putting a 2-year moratorium on them, it delays them, so to speak. So you may not get your credit this year or next year, but into the future, you'll be able to recoup the credits that you would have gotten in a better budget year.
Let's talk about budget. What, you know, give me your overall assessment, you know, again, from that rural perspective of how things finally worked out and settled down last Friday afternoon.
There are still so many unanswered questions. The legislature agreed on a $6.68 billion budget, but there were many controversial pieces to that. Some of those they called revenue enhancements. One in particular was this 1% fee on the health care claims. And for those who supported that, they said, you know, we do this 1% fee and we're going to get the federal match, and that's a good thing. For those who opposed it, they said that's a tax increase. And in Oklahoma, that's illegal without taking that to a vote of the people. The real catch, so to speak, was the fact that the emergency didn't pass on this $80 million piece of the budget or on two other portions of the budget agreement. And so I think there's a lot of unanswered questions as to how that will fit in and how rural Oklahoma comes out with our natural resources chairman. I believe Senator Justice, Representative DeWitt, they're still sorting out some of those things as well.
I know when we saw the numbers come out, the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture had, what, a 14-15% budget cut, but it wasn't just a straight operational cut, as was my understanding. Is that right?
That's right. Because the Department of Agriculture gets some pass-through dollars, and they're important pass-through dollars for projects and things that are important to rural Oklahoma and youth activities and those types of things, that's the dollars that you don't see in the Department of Ag's budget. So it wasn't just that big of a cut to the department. It was more a loss of pass-through dollars. And some of those pass-through dollars will still be made available just through a different means, but they're certainly not going to be to the level that we've seen in previous years.
Will this budget hang together? I've heard some speculation that they might still have to come back with a special session.
It's a possibility. Because the emergency clause didn't pass on some of the budget measures, there's that 90-day waiting period until they go into effect. And then there's the threat of some possible legal challenges, you know, based on is it a tax or is it a fee. And so it is likely that when, you know, the next time the revenue dollars come in, the state treasurer looks at those and looking at how this budget really came together once it went into effect, there is a possibility that either the legislature comes back into special session or the governor is just forced to do across-the-board cuts, you know, similar to what we saw last year.
One other area, Lori, and that is has to do with water. I understand that there was a lot of discussion, interesting conversation, if you want to call it nothing else, regarding the future of Sardis Lake and that Oklahoma Water Resources Board may be involved in some sort of direction on that.
That was a lot of discussion. No actual piece of legislation was looked at that dealt with that in any way. That issue did overshadow, so to speak, some other pieces of water legislation that didn't go anywhere, probably because of the political uncertainty of the Sardis issue. From the legislature's perspective, and certainly from Farm Bureau's perspective, we would like to see the statewide water study completed so that we can assess where all the water is and what are Oklahoma's needs first with that water. And we're getting very close to having that water study completed, and I think that's an important step in the right direction for Oklahoma.
You think they can hold off 2 more years until that happens?
There's a possibility. You know, there's a payment due this summer to the Army Corps of Engineers with respect to the Sardis project, but the state of Oklahoma will have to look at how they want to fill that, to make that payment, whether the state does that or whether they look to a third party to help them until an agreement can be made. I feel like they'll at least wait until this election year is over, but I've been wrong before, Ron.